Years ago, on a morning very much like this one, I was worshiping at St. James in the downtown east side at Cordova and Gore, Anglican Church, Anglo-Catholic, very formal, very ritualistic, very beautiful, filled with incense. And I was sitting about five pews from the front, and I was quite astonished to see in front of me, in the third row back, one of the nastiest drug dealers in the downtown east side, sitting at the end of the pew. And at the other end of that pew was a court judge, person I personally did not like very much, was quite harsh in his judgments, quite harsh in his sentencing. But as the mass progressed, I saw both of these gentlemen come forward onto the kneelers where they made the same confession. And I listened to our priest, David Retter, offer the same absolution to both of them. And later, in the Mass, the two walked up, one ahead of the other, and took communion together. We are not so different, one of us from the other. And it's only in Christ that we fully see that. Now, when I go home from St. James, I walk through the downtown east side along East Hastings Street. And to me, it's a wonderful place to be. I've worked there, well, since 1979. I know many, many people on that street. We remember each other from when we were young. We cut our teeth on each other. They taught me. I helped them. And so it's a time as I walk along from Main Street to Homer Street of a lot of touch. We reach out, we touch each other's hands. People come up to me and hug me. I will bend down to check on somebody who's on the ground and make sure that they're breathing steadily and that they're okay. I get the news that Wayne, who I haven't seen for 20 years, is standing in front of me looking wonderful. He looks better than he did 20 years ago. And he tells me that he went to the Salvation Army and he found recovery and he hasn't had a drink in 20 years. And he introduces me to a small woman beside him, who is his new girlfriend. So there's good news as we pass along. There's sad news. They'll tell me somebody that I knew well had died. They will tell me, oh, I'm so sorry, I relapsed. They will tell me, good news, I met my birth mother for the first time. Just all of the news that you would find in any congregation, right? What's going on in your life. I've retired now 5 years from working for the city. When I was working, I was constantly housing people. I was constantly looking for housing for people. I was constantly working with levels of government to try to press them to get housing for people who had no housing. And a few months ago, I was phoned by a lawyer who said she had clients, a couple, actually a family, but these parents had been separated from their children. The children had been placed in foster care. The parents were homeless. What had happened to this family, like so many families in Vancouver, is they had lost their housing to redevelopment. And try as hard as they might, and I know they were trying all day, every day, they were not able to find even a room anywhere in Metro Vancouver that they could afford. The lawyer told me that they had been contacted by the Ministry of Children and Family and told that if they did not have housing by the end of July, the children were going to be apprehended and put into foster care permanently. The parents would not be able to get them back. So I worked as hard as I can, and for this family, I was able to find a tiny, dark, two-bedroom suite in the bottom of First United Social Housing. The mother has friended me on Facebook, and every day there is some form of thanksgiving in what she's posted. She will say, we've named every bird that comes to our garden. Harry, Gus, James. We found that there's a time of day when there's nobody parked in the parking lot and the little boys can go out and kick their ball around. She will talk about how wonderful it is to be able to cook for her family. She'll be talking about how wonderful it is to be able to put on some music and watch her little boys and her husband dance. So much gratitude. But the lawyers phoned me and told me they have another 11 families who have been threatened that they will lose their children permanently if they're not able to find housing. And I've not been able to find housing for these 11 families. It weighs heavily on my heart. People wonder, how can you do it? They don't even like to go into the downtown east side. They don't like to drive through. But you know, when you're up close to people and you're looking into their eyes and you get to know them, it's just like coming into any other congregation. So it's a lot like for me coming up here. You know, last night we were going to a family dinner in Burnaby, and I was in the back of my brother's car, and we drove down Hastings, and I looked into the downtown east side and saw it maybe the way other people do who are driving through. It was horrifying. There's so many people were putting out their blankets already at 6 o'clock in the afternoon, because they were going to be sleeping on the street. There were so many people fighting, and I could see the violence. There were people who were under the effects of drugs, and horribly under the effects of drugs, and I could feel my heart and stomach turn looking at this, the way your hearts and stomachs must turn when you see it. And the thought in my mind was the thought that would be in your mind, why do they keep doing drugs when it's destroying their lives, when it's costing them their souls, when, you know? And then this morning, coming up here early, and it was so beautiful, and this neighborhood is so orderly and so green and so fragrant, and the green mountain is so magnificent, and it seems to be a different community, but I know from going into one congregation after another and getting to know people deeply, that everyone in the world has addictions. And that's what Jesus was talking about. Now, in a community like this, we know that there are many people who have drug addictions, even though they work as heads of companies or as lawyers. And we know that there are people who are alcoholic, even though they continue to work as school teachers and doctors. But much more than that, we all have much less obvious addictions. So if I'm talking deeply with someone in the downtown East Side about their addiction and wouldn't they like to go into recovery, and we start talking about what is it that this addiction is giving you? What would happen if you gave it up? They will say, I will never feel normal again. Because when someone is in addiction, it doesn't feel wonderful to them. It's not a party. It feels like their body is normal. And when they don't use the drug or the alcohol, their body does not feel normal. So in my beautiful community in the west end of Vancouver, maybe a mile from Stanley Park, and in your beautiful community here near that Green Mountain, we also addict to things that make us think, if I give this up, if I change anything, I will never feel normal again. Little thing, we all have morning rituals, you know? This morning, my morning rituals were changed. My daughter had brought four children and they were staying all over my little place. So I couldn't get my coffee, I couldn't turn on CBC. It was like, try and keep the dog quiet. And I was quite glad to get out. But yeah, but if we were all, think for a moment what it would be like to permanently and forever give up all of your morning rituals. No more coffee, no more CBC, no more quiet minute of gratitude with God, no more taking the dog for a walk, no more would it feel the same. If you could no longer be in your own home with your own things and your own pictures around you, and that was going to be forever, what would that be like? If you were going to make a change that meant being on a very strict diet that got you down to your perfect weight, and then for the rest of your life, were never allowed to gain more than 2 ounces. What would that be like? That's what it's like to give up an addiction. But we are so addicted to what is normal for us, our families, our children, grandchildren, our homes, our gardens, our hobbies, our church. This has become our addiction, mine as well as yours. And then we think of stewardship, and it seems utterly overwhelming that this little group here, us, that we could actually change what is happening in the downtown East Side. But I want you to consider something that you can do this week that might make some changes, but it would be small. We live in a democracy. We're coming up to our civic election. We'll be tempted, all of us, to maintain our addiction, to vote for the candidate who will keep our taxes low, who will keep poverty out of our midst by zoning, it away to somewhere else, right? We will be tempted to vote in our own self-interest. But I can tell you that if you will choose a candidate who will consistently support those families who need housing if they're going to be together,